All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and let's turn to two passages of Scripture. I want you to go first to the Old Testament, to the book of the Psalms, and specifically to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. And then we're going to turn over to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 14. Well, let's begin here in Psalm 20, and let me read down just a couple of verses here from the top of the psalm, beginning in verse 1. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah." Now, I've told you many, many times before that Selah was a musical rest. All right. Remember, all of these are songs. And you'll notice as you read through the Psalms that many times you will see the word Selah. And the Hebrew word there literally means this: think about it. All right, so it's think of it as the instrumental between the stanzas of a song. All right, so you're singing a song and verse 1 to 3 is the first verse of that song, and when you finish singing, then you stop and they play, and you think about what you just sung in the hymn. Okay, so remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Then in verse 4, it says, "Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." Now, listen carefully to this sixth verse. "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven. Without the saving strength, with the saving strength of his right hand." God will hear from his holy heaven. Folks, heaven is a real place. It's a real place. Now, let's go to the New Testament for just a moment, and let's see what the Lord had to say about this place called heaven. In verse 1, the Lord saw that the disciples were troubled. He saw that they were burdened. He was speaking to them about leaving, about going back to the Father. And when they heard this, they got troubled by it. And he saw their troubled hearts, and so he said these words. In verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Now, folks, get that. All right? They're not being built right now. They were already built. Okay? The mansions are there. All right, so he said, "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And that place is evidently not a mansion. The mansions are already there. All right, verse 3. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, where is he? He's in heaven. All right, so it's pretty obvious that the Lord Jesus believes in heaven. He's there right now. Okay, and he is getting heaven ready for all of us. And so he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now you and I would say that verse this way, and where I go, you know. We don't use the word whither. People look at you funny if you use the word whither, okay? But where, and so verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, question, where's the Lord Jesus right now? He's in heaven. Where's the Father right now? He's in heaven. All right, so the promise is that where Jesus is, that's one day where we are going to be. And then where the Father is, that is one day where we will be. All right, let's pray. And then I want to speak to you this evening on the characteristics of heaven. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you now for the Word of God. And thank you for all the amazing things that are in this book. And Father, one of the amazing things in this book is what you have to say about heaven. And you said a whole lot more about hell than you did about heaven, but you told us just enough so that we all want to go there. None of us want to go to hell. We have read what you've said about that awful place. And so I pray that you will help us to learn about heaven tonight. And may it stir our souls to serve and live for you. One day, knowing that we're going to step in to this wonderful place that you have prepared for us. So bless the message to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. All right, keep your Bible open here. And I want to speak to you tonight on the characteristics of heaven. Now, one of the most difficult subjects for any preacher to preach on is the subject of heaven. And the reason is because, as I said a moment ago in my prayer, there is not nearly as much information about heaven as there is in the Bible about hell. We have the Lord Jesus telling us all kinds of things about hell, and those things just make your skin crawl when you read what the Lord Jesus had to say about hell. It's enough to scare anyone who has any common sense. I heard a preacher say one time years and years ago that to really understand what heaven will be like, just think of all the wonderful good things in this world multiply them by a million times a million, 1 million, and then add Jesus and you'll have it. Folks, what I'm saying is I don't think our minds can fully comprehend what a wonderful place heaven is going to be. God didn't tell us much about heaven. He told us enough to make us interested in it. But as I said just a moment ago, the Bible tells us a whole lot more about hell than it does about heaven. Now, we do not know exactly where heaven is. We know it's in the north. That's what the Bible says. Do you have something in Psalm 20? Can you get there real quick? All right, go back, go over to Psalm 48. Let me show you something out of Psalm 48 here about where heaven is located, where it is. All right, Psalm 48, verse 1. I'll wait on you, I'm sorry. All right, look at verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king? God tells us here that heaven is in the north. Now, we don't know exactly what all that means. We know that now, because of the Hubble telescope, we know that that our universe is bigger than anybody could have ever conceived. They just a few years ago took the telescope and pointed it in the direction of where you could not see with the naked eye any visible stars. And so they turned the Hubble so that it went right into that spot where you couldn't see a thing with your human eye. And they just turned it on and left it on, just left it taking photos. And what came back amazed NASA. They called it Hubble's deep space. If you want to see something that will absolutely blow you away, now don't listen to the dialogue that goes along with it, because they are totally in the wrong about that dialogue. They are not going to give God credit for anything, all right? And so what they're doing, they shine that telescope, and then over the process of a few weeks, it takes all these pictures, and it looks way, way, way deep into the universe. Folks, their explanation is that which it is seeing is the early days of our universe. No. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on, give God the credit. You don't have an explanation for what you're seeing without God. It's just that simple. There is no explanation for what you are seeing apart from God Almighty. And when you look through that telescope and it goes way out beyond where the human eye can see, and there is nothing but galaxy after galaxy after galaxy that you see, some spiral, some oval, some glowing, some with some of the weirdest stars in the middle of them, and that Hubble has captured all of that. And somebody said, well, maybe it was a mistake. So they turned it another direction and did the same thing. And folks, no matter where they point that thing, it shows the same thing over and over. And now they're saying there are trillions upon trillions of galaxies in the universe. It is absolutely amazing. And folks, if you want something that will put the shivers on you, just go to YouTube get in the little search thing and type in Hubble deep space, and it'll show up. There'll be many, many. Don't listen to the dialogue because they don't have a clue. Turn the dialogue off and have somebody sit in the background reading, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." All right? And tears will come to your eyes, I guarantee you. And so we know it's up. We know it's in the north. But that's about all we know about it. All right? So the Bible, the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, and then David in the Psalms under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, both speak to us about this place called heaven. Now, the characteristics of heaven. What do we know? What does the Bible tell us about heaven? Well, it tells us that heaven, first, is a holy place. Now, we read that a moment ago in Psalm 20. We saw that clearly. David said he will hear him from his holy heaven. Heaven is a holy place. Now, you know what holy means? Yeah, that means there's no sin there. There's no stain there. I used to have these rednecks down in West Virginia. They'd ask me all the time, say, "Preacher, can you chew tobacco and go to heaven?" I said, "Yeah, but you have to go to hell to spit." You see, it's a holy place, all right? It's a holy place, folks. There will be no sin there. That's what that means. Over in the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, in verse 3, John said that after everything was said and done, and we're in the new heaven and in the new earth, John said that there will be no more curse. Isn't that something? The curse of sin is going to be gone. The curse of sin that fell upon Adam and upon creation and upon the universe, that curse is going to be removed. And no more will we groan and travail under its demands. It's not going to have any effect upon us and upon the redeemed ever again. Man, I'm looking forward to that day when it's gone. When it's gone. Several years ago, when we were out in Joliet, Illinois, I went to the hospital to visit one evening. It was an emergency situation, and one of my church members had gotten into a car accident, and so I got pulled onto the lot to park, and there was no place to park, and so I went around the side of the building, and I found a couple of spots, and I said, "Lord, don't let them tow me," and I parked there. And so when I got out of the car, I saw this fella looked like a homeless guy, and he was looking through the trash can that was sitting there by the dumpsters. And someone had brought out several of the hospital trash cans, and they were just sitting there, and he was rifling through them. Well, when he heard me shut the door of my car, he walked in front of me into the hospital. And when he walked in, there was an ashtray sitting there outside, and people had stuck their cigarettes down inside that ashtray. It was full of cigarettes. And when he walked by, he was gathering them up and putting them in his hand. Can you imagine that? Putting them in his hand, and then he carefully put them into his pocket. And my heart broke. I looked at him and I said, "Sir, has anybody ever told you about Jesus?" And he said, "No, and I don't want to hear anything about him either." And I said, "Well, can I just give you something to read?" And he said, "I don't know how to read." I said, "I bet you do." He said, "No, I don't know how to read." And I said, I held the tract out to him. And he looked at it, and then he said, "What must I do to be saved?" "I thought you couldn't read." And I handed the tract to him. I hope he read it and got saved. But folks, there's not going to be any more of that when we get to heaven. I have gone down in cities to go to the hospitals, and I've seen people passed out still with a rubber band around their arm and a needle in their hand. I mean, there's not going to be any more of that stuff. I mean, praise the Lord, the curse of sin is one day going to be gone. Why? Because heaven is a holy place. There cannot be any sin when we get to when we get up there. And then secondly, I want you to take your Bible now and turn over to the book of the Revelation, chapter 7. Let me show you another thing about heaven. Revelation chapter 7. In chapter 7, I want you to look, please, at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb," notice that's capitalized, so who is that Lamb? Exactly. "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Not only is heaven a holy place, but folks, heaven is also a happy place. There'll be no tears there. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow. God is going to wipe away, one of these days, all tears from our eyes. Amen. Now this is speaking of the tribulation saints. Those poor souls that had to die a martyr's death because they would not bow to the Antichrist. Amen. But then over in the verse that I quoted for you just a little while ago, I quoted to you that again in 22:3, that there will be no more curse. And again, God is going to wipe away our tears. That curse is going to be gone. Heaven is a happy place. We used to sing a song down in the mountains, and it was called "What Joy." And the song said, "Oh, what joy 'twill be when we gather in the air. Oh, what joy." Have you ever thought about how you're going to react when you hear that trumpet sound? Have you ever thought about the effect that it's going to have on you? Well, folks, that day's coming. I would be thinking about it if I were you, because I think it's probably closer than any of us realize. Our lives today, they're just filled with so much sadness. We've got sickness, we've got disease, we've got death, we've got shattered dreams, we've got tears everywhere you look. I have spoken to several people since all of this COVID thing started, and they have told me that cry themselves to sleep at night. And I said, well, why? Well, I'm afraid that my loved one is going to get this virus and die. I'm afraid my husband, I'm afraid my wife, I'm afraid my mother, my father. Folks, listen, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Let's just put our faith and trust in the Lord and realize that He is in complete control of all things. Folks, heaven will be a place of happiness. Everything will be perfect. It will be a place of happiness because Jesus is there, because of the reunions that we're going to enjoy. Can you imagine the saints of God waiting there for us to come home? Can you imagine? Your mother's there, your father's there, your child is there. Someone asked me just recently, said, Pastor, we had a little infant child in our family that that passed away just recently. And they said, is that little guy going to be in heaven? And I said, well, of course he's going to be in heaven. And so he looked at me and he said, well, let me ask you something, Pastor. Is he going to be that little baby, or is he going to be a 6 foot tall grown man? I looked at him and I said, well, think about it. Do you think heaven would be heaven if there weren't any babies there? Boy, big old tears came in his eyes and he said, you know, I never thought of it that way. We are all at the place in our family where we look at the grandkids who are growing like you're putting Miracle-Gro on them. I mean, Braden's almost as tall as I am. Ava is about 5'5 now. She towers over her mother. And so, you know, we sit there and we wonder, can we take them back to when they were babies? Can we start over again? I mean, it's just all gone by so fast. But folks, heaven would not be heaven if there weren't children there. It would not be heaven if there weren't babies there. So rather than get angry at God, won't you just realize that God just may be making things better for you for all eternity. You may just have your little baby all through eternity. That's something to consider, isn't it? Heaven's a place of happiness. Oh, my grandfather's there, my mother's there, and Karen's mother is there, and we've got other loved ones. My aunt is there, who basically raised me for several years when I was small. I've got tons of church members there, and then Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And man, what a reunion that's going to be. You see, folks, all the things down here that bring sadness to our hearts will never be seen up in heaven. All those things that burden us down today. I spoke about troubles this morning, about trials this morning. And all the things that bring trials and troubles to our life, all of those things are going to be gone. We'll never have to face them again. Think about it. No sickness, no ulcers, no cancer, no diabetes, no heart attacks, no leukemia, no Hodgkin's disease. No MS, no MD or DTs, amen. No hospitals, no clinics, no emergency rooms, No cemeteries, no funeral homes. I've told Kyle, you're going to have to get a new line of work one of these days, bud. What? Man. No ambulances, no rebellion. Oh, I like this one. No Hollywood. Amen. No IRS.
Amen.
No headaches. No glasses.
Amen.
No false teeth. Amen. No weariness. How you doing? Oh, I'm so tired. Well, there's going to be a day when you won't be.
Amen.
You won't be. No gossip, no backbiting, no church splits, no criticism, no griping.
Amen.
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 No weariness, no insurance.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. No murder, no rape, no cursing, no envy, no jealousy, no wrath, no strife, no gambling, no extortion, no lying, no modernist, no liberal, no Christ denier, no Bible rejecter, no demons, no devil,
amen,
no unbelief, and praise God, no darkness. It's all going to be gone. You see, all the things down here that make life miserable for us. My dad would tell a story when we were little about how down this is how we phrased it, down at the mouth of the holler. All right, you know what that means? All right, that means if you go out the front door and walk down the road, you're eventually going to get down to the mouth of the holler. That's where you come off the hard road and get on the dirt road and cross the creek and then come up the holler. All right, you with me on that? And my dad used to tell a story about how when they were little, that there was a fella that challenged the boys in the neighborhood that if they would go down and take a kitchen match and strike it on a tombstone up in the graveyard and stand there until it burned down, he'd give them a silver dollar. So we got to talking about that one day. And somebody said, well, I don't have a silver dollar, but I dare you. And I said, well, I'll do it. And then I went, why'd I do that? It's dark. And so somebody went in and got kitchen matches and brought them out. Go for it. So we walked down to the mouth of holler. Oh, it was an awful night. There was no moon. I didn't have a flashlight. And the only light we had to see was what was on the back of Ned Bowles' hardware store. And so I walked up. And I came to the first tombstone. I turned around. No. You got to go on deeper. Now, deeper means up the hill. So I'm walking up the hill. I said, is this good? Yeah, that's good. So I struck the match, and I held it on the top of that tombstone. And I heard something. Now, I'm pretty sure it was just a leaf. Now, looking back on it. But back then, I thought somebody was coming out of one of those graves grabbing me around the leg. And man, it scared the daylights out of me. But I knew if I ran down that hill, I'd never hear the end of it. So I stood there, and I let that thing burn down, praying, God, please make it burn down faster. Well, folks, listen, there'll be no fear one of these days. There'll be no fear. Think about that. How many times have you genuinely been afraid in your life? But there will be no fear when we get to heaven. All these things that plague us will all be gone. So that's what's not going to be there. Let's think now about what will be there. Let's go now over to Revelation 22. Go to the end of the Bible, to the end of the book of the Revelation. Revelation 22. And verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse." All right, now watch this. "But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." What will be there? Well, the throne of God and of the Lamb is going to be there. You see, while on earth, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, was rejected. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But here at the end, he is where he belongs. He is on the throne. And we are where we belong. We are standing before him, and we are serving him forever and ever. That's the way it ought to be, folks. What else is there? Well, there's this river of life that's there. A river that flows with pure water. Then the tree of life is there. This tree yields 12 kinds of fruits, and it changes every month. Everything good and everything glorious is in heaven. There's no darkness. There's no night. You will not be under the curse of sin any longer, and you and I will have our glorified bodies, and we're not going to need to sleep, but yet we'll never get tired. I like that. Oh, what a place it's going to be. Folks, it's no wonder the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Friend, I'm telling you, you ought to be homesick just thinking about this. You ought to be sitting here saying to yourself, "Man, let's just all pack up and go." Well, I wish the Lord would come back and take us. I sure do. Are you longing for the day when you will go through the gates of heaven and stand in awe at the beauty and the glory of your heavenly home? I mean, let it hit you. Let it sink in, folks. Heaven is a real place, and if you are saved, you're going one of these days, sooner than you think, to a real place. And then lastly, I want to make this statement about heaven. Folks, heaven is only for the prepared. It's only for the prepared. You say, what do you mean prepared? It's only for the saved. Let's go back to John 14 again. Let's go back to what Jesus had to say in John 14. In verse 5, Thomas looked at him and said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? In verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, folks, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared person. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. He's there now. And Thomas said, well, Lord, how can we know the way? You see, he wanted that mansion that Jesus was talking about. He wanted to get there. And Jesus basically just told him this. He said, Thomas, I am the way. And folks, he still is. There is no other way. You know, most folks, I believe this with all my heart, most folks who go to hell are surprised when they get there. I really believe that. I didn't say all folks. I said most folks. I've never met in all my years of being saved and witnessing to others, I have never met one soul who has ever said to me, I want to go to hell. I'm looking forward to it. No, and neither have you. Nobody wants to go to hell. One of our young college age boys came in this morning and said, Pastor, can you give me some tracts? Spanish tracts. I said, sure, we got some. And he said, well, I looked out there in the track rack, and I said, well, come here, you overlooked them. And I walked out there, and sure enough, there they were, and I handed them to him. And he said, you know, preacher, he said, I love witnessing. He's in your soul winning thing. I love witnessing. I'm loving it, he said. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. He said, I got guys on my, that I go to school with, go to college with, and I've got guys on my soccer team. And he said, you know, these juniors and seniors, and they think they're so much bigger and better than everybody else. But he said, it's really strange. When I start talking to them about going to heaven, all of a sudden it's like I grow and they shrink. He said, man, they just look at me and they're so interested. And I said, amen, dear friend, that is exactly the way you ought to look at it. Don't ever let fear keep you from winning someone to Christ. But I really honestly believe that most folks that go to hell are surprised when they get there, because the simple truth is they did not plan to go there. They didn't plan to go there. That was not in the scheme. They always thought, one of these days, I'll get saved. But wait a minute. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared person. You plan to be saved before you die. Well, if you plan that, you better carry out those plans and prepare to meet your God. Because that day is coming. I want to close with this illustration. There was a king back over in Europe several hundred years ago. Back in those days, the kings had what they called jesters. These, you know, our world has always had, you know, the comics. Comedians. And the king would bring in they sought to find the funniest man. The biggest, they called them fools, because they just didn't care. Their job was to make the king laugh, and if they had to act like a fool to get the king to laugh, they'd do it. And this fellow that they found was evidently hilarious. And he got to be friends with the king. And for several years, he served this king. One day, there was a banquet thrown in his honor, and the king presented him with a walking stick. And in front of all the people that they could get into that banquet hall, the king stood and he said, "I am giving this walking stick to the biggest fool in the land." And everybody cheered. Now, he wasn't offended. He stood up and he was thrilled. He was thrilled that the king saw him in that light. He was doing a good job. And the king was his friend. And so he presented that walking stick to that jester. And after he gave it to him, he turned around and he said, "Wait a minute, I have an announcement to make." And he turned to the jester and he said, "Now, you cannot give that walking stick away until you find a man who is a bigger fool than you." Well, the years passed, and the old king got sick. And he was on his deathbed. And that jester came with his walking stick and asked permission to see the king. And they granted him the privilege to go in and see the king one last time. And when the jester walked in the room, he asked the king, "Sir, what preparations have you made for heaven?" And the king looked at him and said, "None." He said, "Sir, do you remember what you said when you gave me this walking stick?" The king nodded his head. He said, "Well, I am now presenting it to you. For I have now found a man who is a bigger fool than I." And he laid the walking stick upon his chest. Wouldn't it be a sad thing? I mean, you come to church here regularly. You listen on the live stream. You listen to the CDs that come out of this place. I mean, for years, wouldn't it be such a foolish thing to go out into eternity and not be prepared for that eternity? Man, heaven's real, folks. And if you want to go there, there's only one way to do it, and that's through the Lord Jesus.